when we put a value on words when we speak, you know, when I was a teenager, I wouldn't say, my mind wasn't renewed, I'd say anything. I'd say anything to get what I wanted. Anything, just to say it. You know what the tragic thing, though, when you come over and get saved, people don't get their minds renewed with the Word of God, that they still shuck and jive. The shuck and jive words. And I go like this with some people. I just like, you know, that's the way it makes me feel. I don't want to, you know, make anybody sick, but that's the truth. You know, just because they, you know, they get around, they say this, hey, Brother Ed, I'm going to be at your fresh oil and this and that. I said, no, you won't. He said, you just watch and see. I said, I watch and see, and they never came. You know what I mean? When you tell somebody, and see, that'll affect every area of your life. Now, I'm not perfect in it. I'm working at it because what I'm about to show you, you probably already know it, but maybe you need to be rehearsed. Because your faith will never be active if you don't put a value on words and what you say. You'll never be a perfect man. You'll never have your prayers answered. Because you've got to value words that come out of your mouth. Because that's the way that God operated. Matter of fact, if you want to, well, you don't need to turn there because I don't think I'll go over there right now, but I'll mention it. In Mark 4, he says that this is the way the kingdom operates. The kingdom of God. Remember it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6? He says, this is the way the kingdom operates. See, me and the pastor have been talking about this, that praise God for whippity-doo meetings and people falling out under the power of God and everything. But in everyday life, they can't live off of that. You can't live off of that. We want to teach people how to live a Christian life on this planet Earth. Because most Christians are a mess. They're in debt. They're financially broke. If they took 3 weeks off their job, they'd be hurting. Hello? I know, because I pastored for many years. We've got a church right now. Of course, my wife does most of the pastoring there. But we want people to be able to live. Oh, when I get to heaven, it's going to be one. Yeah, it's going to be one. Matter of fact, I saw it last night. It's wonderful. Glory to God. But we're down here right now. I saw some of the friends of mine, Dr. Summerall last night, and his wife, and my mother, and my dad, and Smith Wigglesworth, different ones that were compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. And they're shouting out there, but we're still down here. Hallelujah. It's not my time to go yet, because I'm not satisfied yet. Are you?
Nope.
I'm not satisfied. So I'm not going up there right now. But the fact is that we've got to live on earth. Well, he said the sower sows the word. This is the way the kingdom works. Well, that's what he's talking about. How do you sow the word? You sow it out of your mouth. You see, we're at Sunday morning. We get up and we're sowing the word of God into their gardens. You know, a lot of people have a problem with this hundredfold thing, and I don't. Because I pastor and I understand ground. You a pastor? You know, when you preach to people, you see some of them, you keep preaching and preaching and preaching, and 2 years later, the very thing that you preach could save them out of their problem, but they just fall apart. And I call them, you know, there's tenfold, there's thirtyfold, there's a hundredfold. There's a core of hundredfold Christian. In other words, they take what you say and act on it, and they produce. Can you say amen? Well, you know, praise God. Well, that's the same way, because the Bible says your spirit is a garden. You see, and you put the word in that garden, and it'll grow. And it's your decision how much you're going to produce by how you believe and how you walk in. Everything that I have in the ministry today, most of all the stuff that I have today, and the way that I'm walking, I'm getting better and better, and is because I said so. Because I said so. I say I'm blessed. I proclaim I'm blessed. Well, you don't look back, but I am blessed. I don't care what it looks like. See, people just think of just the believing part, and that's part of it. They think they just believe, but that ain't enough. You got to say what you believe. That's how you release your faith, and that's how you get it out there to produce for you. You got to get the word out of you by saying for it to produce for you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So that's what we was talking about today in our roundtable, taking care of business, but about, you know, and different things, integrity. But we need to have integrity with our words. I had this here recently. Man, am I mean, God raked me through the coals. He said, what comes out of your mouth and ain't lying with my word is blasphemy. When you go around talking about your sickness and disease and God said you're sick, you're blaspheming him with your words. When he says that you have a trust fund, I have a trust fund. I can prove it out of the Bible. I have a trust fund. I have an inheritance. He meets all my needs according to his riches and glory, which is my trust fund. That's how he meets my needs. I have a trust. My big brother Jesus left it to me. I have a trust fund for my personal life, and I have a trust fund for my ministry. than all the money that I need to operate my ministry. I don't have to set up meetings to pay my bills. I go where God tells me to do. I got to trust him. He told me, he said, if I told you just to go one place a year, I'm obligated to take care of you. Now, you think about the one that flinged all the stars up, the moon's holding this earth up by his words, and he said that he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy already. Glory be to God. I have a trust fund. Well, how do you get that out? By saying so. Talking about it. That's why I say I get care packages every day. I get them every day. Casting all my care upon him, for he careth. So I talk more about his care than me carrying a care. I talk about him careth for me. He takes care of me. How did he take care of me? He left me a trust fund.
Yeah.
So I say how much I need a year. I teach in our congregation. I teach everywhere I go. That I teach, how much do you need to operate in your everyday life? Just your personal need. Well, I need so much. You know, then I bring it. God said, asking you. I said, this is how much I need. So I start saying so. And that's what brings. That's the withdrawal, is the words, what you're saying. He meets all my needs. Then cast that care over on him. You see, when I found out I didn't have to produce, I thought, man, I had to get out there. I used to set up my meetings. I got meetings. I got enough into the millennium if I want to. I got plenty of meetings to go to. But there, you know, but I thought that I had to set up my meetings according to my budget. Because, you know, you'd figure you get an average after doing it after 36 years, you know, an average, which you can get in a year. So I figure I have to be out. You see, that's about working by the sweat of my brow. That's me doing. See, God is the doer. We're the trusters. We got to trust in what he said. He called you in the ministry. He called you on the road. He's obligated to take care of you. Glory be to God. You know, if it isn't, then he's a liar, and he's not. I mean, that's just like a guy when I used to be a carpenter and pulled me and called me out of the job. Said, well, we need 5 carpenters, so the Union Hall District calls me out. And I come out on the job, and I look around, nobody there, a vacant lot. They say, now build a building. Well, give me some lumber. Give me some tools. Give me some crane. See, God called me in the ministry. He didn't put me on a vacant field. He said, now build what I... You see, he's the doer, and we're the trusting. See, I don't have to go to convention and stand at the back door passing out my car, beating the bushes to get a place to preach. Can you say amen? Matter of fact, I mean, if that was so, that I mean, revelation of this, I, if the Lord said, now take a year off, it wouldn't bother me a bit, because I know he'll take care of me. Amen. You can ask this fella right here. He's been with me 8 years now. He hadn't been on the road with me because he was in different departments, but he'd been involved in our ministry. And he knows, because his wife takes care of the finances. And I haven't phoned there in 3.5 years to find out if there's enough money to pay the payroll on the 1st and the 15th. Haven't done it at all, because that ain't my care. My job is just, you know, Fox News, I got a kick out. We went down, it was so late, so we were downtown on the other side of downtown, so we went to the CNN place down there. And right across the street is a Fox, is a billboard in Fox Center, you know, advertising all those, but right across from CNN, I thought it was funny. I just thought it was funny. They said, we report, you decide. I picked up on that. My job is just to report, you decide. I can't force you to keep your britches on. I can't force you to tithe. I can't force you to go to church. That's all I can do is preach the word of God, and then you decide. That takes any load off of me. To make you, that's all we were to do is to report. So I'm reporting to you how you can become a perfect man. And how you can, and be entire and wanting nothing in your life by being perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I already preached myself happy. We ought to take the offering, huh? Praise God. In every area of your life, by your words, you can have every one of your needs met. I had a guy in a bookstore there in California. We got a Bible school. It's not our Bible school, but one of the people that are against word of faith and preaching faith and healing. And they think that their calling is just nothing to get up and preach against us faith teachers and people pray for the sick and prosperity and so forth. And, I was in the bookstore there, and the guy said, hey, I know who you are. You're one of those name it and claim it guys. I said, yeah, I'm guilty. Name it. We was looking at the building because the same contractor's building our new building is building their building. And he said, yeah, he says, well, he said, if you know, invite your people over. Well, you don't want a bunch of name and claimant people over here, do you? And then we talked a little bit. He was a nice guy, but you know, he's just been taught wrong. And then I said, by the way, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Oh, absolutely. Did you name him Lord? Yeah. Did you claim him as your Savior? Absolutely. I said, you're a name it and claim it too, aren't you? Well, yeah, but not like you guys. I got him real good. Praise God. Amen. Well, you have to name him and claim him if you're gonna get saved and be saved. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. But see, that's how I get my needs met, because I say so. That's how I got my airplane for our ministry. That's how we got our building. I went out there, a piece of property, and God said, that's your property. I had a for sale sign out, so it was all right. And I went out there and went, you come to me. You belong to me. I planted a seed into that property and walked around it and walked on it. And I said, you come to me. And a few months later, I said, deed, you get into my name. I didn't have a dime to get it. And then we had a fresh oil rally, and I mentioned to people about, you know, I saw this piece of property. We're going to buy it for our headquarters and everything else. People got involved and so forth, and we got enough to pay cash for it. And it got into our name. You see, I set in motion. You know, God said, let there be light, and that's still moving today. His words, that's how you set things in motion. And you got to have faith in your words. You want to kill a marriage? Just have bad words over one another, and you'll kill the love in that marriage by the way you talk. You want to kill your kids' confidence and things? Just keep browsing them all the time. You're nothing. You're stupid and everything. You just keep saying, because words will kill or they'll bring life. I said they'll kill or bring life. I'm preaching real good. Go over, if you would, with me to the book of James. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I just want to teach you how I get my needs met. I want to teach you, praise God, how to put clothes on you. Because he talked a lot about clothes over there in Matthew 6. He told us how to do it. Don't take the thought saying. Don't say that you don't have clothes. Say that you do have clothes. Say that God is taking care of you. Amen. He said if you take care of a bird, how much more are you worth than a bird? He'll take care of you. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could open people's heads up and jam this down in there so they can get a hold of this, how they can change the things. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. I'm teaching my staff how to get houses right now. Get houses. You know, they get into a better home. Some of them are renting and they need to buy a home. So we've got a project this year that we're going to get our staff members, those that want homes, praise God, teach them how to do it and get them in it. Glory be to God. Now look at here, James chapter 1, verse 1. Most of you know this, but we need to rehearse it. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered about, greeting. My brethren, count it all gloom and doom. Count it all what?
Joy.
One person said joy means to jump up, spin around 10 times, and shout. Well, I can't do that. Now, when I was younger, I might be pretty close to it, but I mean jump up and run around, you know, and doing it. But count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, different tests and trials. Different tests and trials that you go through. Count it all joy. You see, when you have faith, when you release your word, you have joy because you know it's going to produce for you in the middle of a test or a trial. See, my father-in-law is a farmer. And once he gets that seed in the ground, once he's got that seed in the ground, he's just thrilled. I couldn't understand why is he so thrilled about digging up dirt and putting the seed in. Because he knows he's going to have crop of cotton or wheat, whatever those two that he planted. He knows he's going to have a harvest. You see, when you're going through a test and a trial, you ought to count it all joy, knowing, because once you released your faith, you know it's going to come to pass. See, that's having faith in your words that you planted in the ground. Because he said, the sower sows the word. And you sow it with your mouth. You sow it with your mouth. You know, I have pastors tell me, well, do you come to small church? I said, quit saying that. I said, quit saying that. Well, what am I to say? Just about all of them. Some of them I won't tell because they'd get offended. You know, they're thin skin, touchy, and they won't be in the ministry very long because the devil makes sure that they get their foot stepped on. But I tell them, quit saying, just say, do you come to growing church? Because, you know, when you're, this is a pioneer work. He just pioneering this work, getting it going, and it takes work. And there's some sacrifices you make to get to that point. Praise God. But you don't go around and say, well, do you come to small? We're just a small church. Well, so you'll stay small because your words will put you there. You say, do you come to we're growing. Pioneer work. I like to say you come to pioneer work. That's a better way to put it. Hallelujah, that we're all pioneering and working together and we're building a church. Instead of going around saying, do you come to small church? Well, yeah, but we are a small church. You're lying. No, I'm not lying about it. I'm just telling you we're at that point right now, but we're growing. Takes time. Dad Summerall said it takes at least 10 years before you really become a church. Now, you are a church, but when you really get things. It takes time to pioneer and put a foundation into a local church. Thank you for your enthusiasm. A lot of people don't want to get in that ball. They want everything, you know, already done. But you don't have to talk about that. You're to talk about where we're going. Talk about the vision. See, he's talking about reaching businessmen in this community. Praise God. That's what he's saying. He's talking it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have to hand it to you, Pastor. You're doing a good job. I'm proud of you. Praise God. Give him a hand. Glory to God. They're doing good. Praise God. But it takes time. You see, it takes time with a farmer. My father-in-law, you know, we planted one day because I've been out there when he was working I've been out there when he was harvesting. He was happy then, but he was happy when he got that seed in the ground because he knew it was going to produce. You know, we need to have that mentality when we plant our words that come out of our mouth and get excited. That's what he's talking about. Count it all joy. Because I'm going to tell you why. Why? It's just count it all joy when you fall into different tests and trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh faith. See, because you planted your faith, then this is the reason the test and trial come. So many people get offended because they take it personally because pressure's on. Things are falling apart in the natural. So we take an offense and get touchy. Well, why is this happening to me? Well, it says right here, you got to know the reason it came. The reason it come is to get you to dig up that seed. Take it back. See, the devil's trying to get you to say, well, I guess it ain't going to work. You just dug it up. See, don't relent. Once you release those words and say so, what you believe in your heart, it'll produce. God said, let there be light. He didn't have a nervous breakdown or anything like that and said, well, I hope it happens. He said, let there be light. And he knew that it was going to be with it. And the Holy Ghost was out there. And then the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost, now he's our comforter and he works with us and he also works with our words. He's waiting for our words. Then there's another entity out there, another spirit called the spirit of Antichrist, and he wants your words. And he'll use your words to get it to work against you. You got to know that. And you just can't spouting off all the time. Well, why does this happen to me? Well, we're broke. Shut up. If you are, don't let the devil know about it, but you're big mouth. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I tell our book, talk to that checkbook. You talk to it. Money comes. Money comes into this ministry. I said money comes to this ministry. Because it is in my will and testament, because that's what he left me. And I have a right to whatever he called you to do, he has already supplied the money. He's already supplied. And for your life, it looks like, see, I was down in Peru a few years ago, and God said, we're going down there in April, me and my wife, for Jim Andrews. I don't know if you know him, but he's a, huh? Yeah, he's a good brother. And he's one of my closest friends now. And we were down there preaching, and God woke me up at 4:00 in the morning. And the Lord said this to me. He said, it looks like I'm an infidel. Matter of fact, I shared this with Brother Copeland, and he preached a week on it on his TV. Well, us preachers, man, we get something, man, we'll preach it. Ain't that right? No matter what it is. You know? And the law is, and you know this, the law is, you know, you say this, you say, well, I heard so-and-so say this.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You say that, you know, then you say, and you mentioned his name, then you said, I heard this, then next time I always say.
Right. That's right.
You know, people got it mixed up. Some people preaching, you know, Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin, you know. Well, anyway, praise God. It's all from the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Of it sets you free. But the Lord woke me up and he said, it looks like, you know, I'm an infidel. Well, I was thinking, because a lot of times he'll wake us up and us preachers and maybe correct us that something that we said the night before or our attitude. I mean, I don't know how about you. That's when a lot of times he'll deal with me. I wake up out of my sleep and I'll say, what is it? I know when it's him and I know when I can't sleep. And I say, what is it, Lord? What is it? What do you want? He said, it looks like I'm an infidel. So I'm thinking, well, what did I say last night? He said, no, because he knows what you're thinking. He says, 97% of my children are living beneath. That's all born again people are living beneath in what I provided for them. See, that's where I got this trust fund. This is where God started teaching me about that. He said, including you. He said, it's my will for a church of 300 to get the pastor get up on Sunday morning and say, now we're going to build a building over here. It's going to cost $1 million. We need $1 million this morning. And 100 people jump up and give $10,000 apiece without even taking it out of there. That's just their cash flow. But it ain't like that. No, it ain't. Because they're all broke. And that's what he was saying. It hurts the heart of the Father. But he said, it's not on my side. It's not my fault. So that's when he gave me this sermon. That's why I'm preaching a lot of this. You see? To tell them, it's not on my side, it's on their side. See, there's a God side. You know this. There's a God side. And then there's a man side. There's a lot of people who get into the why. Well, why did this happen to me? Well, I'll tell you this. Why did God allow it? It's not on his side. He's already done everything he's going to do, so it has to be on our side. We're the one that has to make the correction. And this is the biggest thing. I'm not just talking about tithing. Because in all the churches, all Baptists, all the churches, they just did a survey last year, or I think this year, no, last year when we was in British Columbia, the guy came out and he said that 97% of the church don't tithe, only 3%. No wonder everybody's broke, you know, because they believe their own stupid doctrines. Only 3% are tithing. Now, in what we'd call Word of Faith churches or, you know, Spirit-filled churches, now that's a lot higher. Our church, they tithe 97% and 3% don't tithe. See, it's flip-flop. But overall, if you put it all there, well, there's a reason. For this cause, many are weak. There's always a cause, and it's always on our side. It's not on God's side. Like I went to a funeral hearing people, the lady was 38, 39 years old, died of cancer, and they say, and I heard them talk, well, why? Why? Well, I said, don't get into the whys. I said, it's on our side. It ain't on God's side. Don't be sitting questioning him. Can you say amen? You got to realize it's nothing. It's on his side. He's done everything. He's God. He's pure. He's perfect. He's holy. And nothing's on his side. It's all on the side.
That's right.
Can you say amen? We got to do our side. And he said, this is what he said. Their biggest problem, that's why I'm preaching this. Their biggest problem is because of the way they talk. See, when you say why, you're doubting God. When you go around with the whys all the time, that's doubting God. That's unbelief. And the Lord told me why that woman died. I'm thinking of another lady now that died here recently, and the Lord told me why she died. One, he said there's two reasons why she died. One is none of your business, and the other is because she got healed once and she overworked herself and she didn't rest her body. She broke natural laws of rest because cancer was in her body and she got healed of it. Well, it takes time to recover, and she went out, started working, preaching and traveling, and she wore her body down again. And see, you can't tempt God like that. See, there are laws. Are you getting anything out of this? Glory to God. And he says, they're saying what they have instead of saying what I provided for them. What does that have to do with this? It has a lot to do with it. It says, knowing this, that your faith, that you're the trying of your faith, work of faith. Now look at it. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Now that's what I'm after when I don't have one in it. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God spoke to me here. I mean, what a revelation of that. He said, if you're in want in any area of your life, I'm not the complete shepherd in that area. Now, he's my shepherd of me being saved. How many know you're saved? Well, you know he's the shepherd. Well, how about finances? He's not the complete shepherd in control of your finances. And he said right here, imperfect. Now, go over to the third chapter. Are you with me? Well, I've heard this before. Well, faith don't come by heard. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And last night was different. Tonight I'm teaching. We just flow in the Holy Ghost. I praise God. I hope we all get caught up in the glory tonight. Maybe go to heaven, visit some of our relatives and come back. I don't know. Amen. Praise God, I'm open to the Holy Ghost. How about you?
Amen.
Now look at this. James chapter 3. Now, you got to understand something. As you read this, he's still talking about the same thing in test and trial. Now look at this in the third chapter, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Now, I've read that I don't know how many times, but it just come alive to me. Did it just come alive to you? Is a perfect man. In other words, with his words. He's not talking about gossiping here. He's talking about a man that doesn't offend what? Offend God with his words. Is a perfect man. In other words, in every area of your life and what you say. You remember Jesus when he came to that fig tree? He answered. He said, and he answered it. He talked to it. I had some business today. I went to answer it. They said, there's some problems here. We're in a stall. We're not doing it. And I said, well, I'm going to answer it. Every problem that comes to this ministry or comes to me personally, I answer it now with the Word of God. I answer it. Lack, I answer it. A problem, I answer it. They said, there's no way that we could get this done unless at the end of the month. I said, that's unacceptable. And see, I answered it. I'm teaching my staff. I'm teaching the guys who are on the construction job. I said, now we've got to answer these problems. You talk to them. Say, no, that's not acceptable. Oh, okay. And we got to settle within a week. You see what I'm talking about? I said, you see what I'm talking about? Oh, glory to God. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I came here and preached myself right into heaven and into the blessings of God. But it'll work. See, what are you talking about? Offend who? Offend not in word. Offending God. Why don't we offend the devil with our words? See, Jesus talked to that fig tree. Now think about that. If that tree, that wood obeyed him, and he says that that's the God kind of faith, because a little bit down there, you notice he talks about in Mark 11, 22, 23, that this is faith. He said, what about, look at that tree? It withered up. He says, well, this will work for you. You know, there was a guy on the radio, you might have heard me say this before, but I was going through the Mojave Desert, and I was up in Fresno, and I couldn't sleep. So I said, I might as well drive home 6 hours away. I'll just drive home, get in about 4 a.m, but I can't sleep. So I was trying to find somebody on the radio going through, and I heard this music come on, and then this guy came on, and he said, can you imagine anybody saying you can have what you said? And can you imagine anybody saying you can have the God kind of faith? He said, hello, this is the Bible Answer Man, and he gave his name. And I said, he hadn't answered nothing. What I did, I went over to Mark 11, 22 and 23 and held it up on the radio. See, I answered it. I answered unbelief. I said, can't you read? And you know who I'm talking about. And he said that, you know, these teachers are going around saying you can have the God kind of faith and you can have what you say. I mean, either the guy's dishonest or he has bad eyesight or he's deranged. You know, I mean, it isn't fair to, I mean, this, when that isn't what... I mean, if you read the Bible, red print, Jesus said that I can have the God kind of faith.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Bible, who are you going to believe it? An ex-bookkeeper that thinks he's a radio preacher? And he's the big corrector of the body of Christ? The big hatchet man? No, I'm going to believe Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you going to believe your circumstances over what Jesus said? Well, we got a report of cancer. That's their report, but I have a higher report. By his stripes, I was healed. Now, I want to show you something about sickness and disease. That tree obeyed Jesus, and he told us that we have the same kind of faith. And it'd be unfair for him to say, I have something, and it's not true. It is true. He said that I can have the same kind of faith. So I said, well, he talked to that tree. I can talk to two before, so they'll find their way to my building. The concrete has a name, and I can talk to concrete. Money has a name, and I can talk to money. Amen. I call my airplane Pretty Bird. I had a mechanic, a guy in there one time. Oh, this is a piece of junk. I said, get out of there. You ain't talking to my bird about like that. It's a pretty bird. It's a sweet bird. The sweet bird's getting ready to get a new paint job. Sweet bird's about ready to get, all the upgrade stuff that will talk to you. You know, you're too low. Mountain, folks. All this new technology, we're getting it into Pretty Bird. Because he's flying around a man of God. I'm getting up, putting an oven in it. I'm getting new cabinets. I'm putting all in Pretty Bird. If you'd listened to that guy 2 years ago, it'd have fell out of the sky the way he was talking over it. And you say, man, glory to God. You need to fill a calendar. You know, I'm filling ministry. Talk to it. And God will open the doors where you're supposed to be. Praise God. Praise God. I fire bookkeepers who talk bad over our books if I catch them. Well, I don't know where they're going to get the money. He says he's building this, he's doing that. I'm talking by faith. Well, where are you getting the money to do it? If I find that bookkeeper, they're out. Fired. I don't get somebody going to talk right. Even if I have to carry around and pay my own bills, at least I'll talk right over it. Can you say amen? Oh, man, I'm helping. This stuff, doesn't that do something to you?
Amen.
This is stuff that you can live on this earth with. Amen. He didn't say, now when you get to heaven... then all your problems will be solved. No, he said, I can solve them right here.
Thank you.
Like last night when God opened this whole roof, right, and I saw all those people that went on to heaven before me, were compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. Praise God. I said, they're on the other side, but we're still over here. But God gave us the kingdom principles to operate and live on this earth.
Yeah, thank
you. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. So I talked to wood. Praise God. I talked to things. Amen. Talk to it. It'll obey you. Because
yeah.
Jesus said it would.
Thank you.
He said the mountain would obey you.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said? So he talked to a tree. Well, figuratively speaking. No, he was talking to a tree. It was a real piece of wood. Now we're back over here. That's what he's talking about. Right here. In many things we offend all, but if any man fit not in word, the same as a perfect man. and able also to bridle the whole body. He's telling me right here that with my mouth, the words that come out of my mouth, I can control this body. I can control my heart to beat right. I can control for it to be healthy. As long as I go natural laws and give it rest. Some preachers don't have no quitting sense. When they're young, they run and preach 7 days a week and wear it like I did, and I got in trouble. God dealt with me about it. He said, you got to rest your body. Are you listening to me? You're young, maybe you get away with it now, but you need to rest it once a week. Come to church, bring your tithes, and God will give you nourishment into your body. Praise God. Praise God. That's another thing he told me. The reason that they're sick and the reason they're broke is because they're working 7 days a week and they don't come to church. And he said, they're not trusting me. They'd obey, not forsaken assembling together, as the Amplified says, as the habit of some. Some people got bad church habits.
That's right.
Just like dope and cigarettes is bad habits, so is Christians got bad habits. And God doesn't honor bad habits. You come and bring your tithe, say, I don't work on Sunday, I go to church, I'm going to sit on my path, and that's the day, and he'll give you nourishment into your body, because he's seeing that you're trusting him instead of a job. Because it'll catch up with you. The reason everybody's sick in the body, how do you know? Because I go to Word of Faith churches, and half of the church, most of the church comes up there, they're all sick. And they all say amen to the faith message, is because they're not doing it. And they're not saying right, they're talking more about their illnesses than they are the answer. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. It says, I can bridle my heart. I learned that from Dr. Summerall. He was my pastor for 15 years. He said, I don't ask my body. He got that from Smith Wigglesworth. I don't ask it how it feels. I tell it how it feels. I remember him, Rod Parsley telling me a story. He was telling me that he was in a hotel room with him and Brother Summerall had a heart attack in his late 70s. He had a heart attack, turned blue. They thought he was dead. He said, man, it scared the something out of me. He said, so we're calling, you know, the ambulance, 911, calling the ambulance and everything else. And he came up and he said this, you beat right! And he jumped out of bed and went in and took a shower and went to the meeting and preached. Able also to bridle his whole body. He'd be able to control his whole body if he's a perfect man and talk right. So this is indicating to me, if you don't talk God talk, talking the Word of God, that your body will run wild with sickness and disease and everything else. You be careful that your body can hear you say. Dr. Summerall said, I tell my body, I don't let it dictate to me. I tell it what it's going to do. And when he said in the airplane right before, a few weeks before he died, he said, he pulled his glasses down because the guy that was with him told me, and he said, I don't want to go no more. I miss my wife and I want to go home. I learned something there. The older people, when one of their mates go home, be with the Lord, if they don't keep focused, they'll go home too because they'll get missing their, you know, their spouse. I didn't realize that Sister Louise had that, you know, because he was just always but he got missing her real bad. And he got talking about it. That's all he'd talk about. I said, I wish he wouldn't talk about that, Dr. Summerall. Then he said, well, I'm writing a new book. So long, world. Nice knowing you. I said, that means you're going home. I don't want you to write that. Who cares? That's what he said. You know, that's just the way he was. And when you get writing books like that, you get talking too much about heaven, you get over there. But he said, I don't want to go no more. Then when he did, his body started deteriorating. And it deteriorated within 2 weeks. He was gone. Something to think about. I said, something to think about. So he's saying here that I can control my whole body. But if I can control my body, I can control everything around me with my words. Are you getting something out of that? You see? Can you say amen? I remember a guy told me, he said, well, this church, I pioneered several churches myself. So I know what it takes. It takes somebody with gumption, got guts. And don't be moved by empty seats. He said, I came and you preached to 6 people. And he said, I came to the back and slipped in the back. And he said, you sit there and preach just like they were all full. See, I preach just like faith. They're all full. I talk, they're full. They're full. You just can't see them. There's angels sitting in there where nobody else sitting. But you stay after it. We're having a convention here. We're going to stay after it. We're going to work. This church, we're going to build. This church is going to get built because we say so. You got to stay after it. You got to go, well, I don't see nobody. See, they're not visionaries. You see, they're moved by what they see. Glory to God. Hook up with a person that has a vision and just keep after it and watch it'll happen. One day you'll come in and say, my goodness, all those seats are full. Twice on Sunday, we just have to build a new building. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Now look at this. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth and they obey us and we turn about their whole body. Now look at, behold, also the ships which thou... through they be so great and are driven with winds, furious winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whethersoever the government. What's he talking about? He's still talking about a test and a trial here. The winds of life. the trials of life. And he's saying that your mouth, your tongue with words will rudder you right through that test and trial. So he's telling me my words are my rudder of my life. If you don't like where you're at today, check out what you were saying yesterday. Quit talking about your weaknesses. We all know about them. Don't talk about them. Quit talking about, well, I'm this and I'm that. Talk about what God said. Talk about what he left and his goodness and his mercy. He loves me. He just loves to pay my bills. He just loves to take care of me. I don't care how old you are. I got a son that gets every kind of motorcycle he wants because he says so. He works on me first.
Yeah.
And then he'll put a and he'll put a picture, you know, like one night I came in late and here was a picture on my bed of a new kind of motorcycle. And I told him the next morning, I said, now son, you gotta show that to God. Yeah, but he uses you. But he does talk to God. Amen. He already got his truck picked out. He's got his learner's permit and in a month and a half he'll be 16 and he's already got, you know, he'll be 16 years old. And he's already got his four-wheel drive truck Chevy, you know, one of those S71s or something, you know, with a back door. I mean, he's got it all picked out. And he's got pictures of it. And he said, I can say so. It's amazing how kids catch up on that, you know. He said, that's my truck. I'm going to get that truck. That's my truck, Dad. See that right there? I said, that's fine. Praise God. Show it to God. He'll have one. He'll have one because he says so. And actually what it is, once you realize the reality of this, when you realize the reality of this, you have faith in your words and you count it all joy. She's like a farmer. I said, what is your dad? I told my wife, what is he so excited about? He went out there and got himself all dirty, working his farm and planting seed. And he comes in the house, he says, because during the winter he's kind of depressed. But when he gets that seed in the ground, he is happy. He's one happy farmer. I mean, he's wonderful to live with him. But if we do the same thing with our words, when we release the words, see, that's faith. Praise God. I got the words in the ground and it'll produce. Oh, I wish you'd get excited about this as much as I am. Because it works. Money chases me down. I said money chases me down. Amen. Just in my care packages. I proved this out when he told me about the care package. He said, say so. Don't take the thought saying, what are you to say? You're to say that God loves you. He took care of the birds. I'm better than birds. He'll take care of me. Says the birds don't even go out and plant. They don't bring in harvest, but yet the Heavenly Father, but you're not in the animal. You're not in that same category because you are to sow. Well, we need to learn about sowing our words. Just like we do money. It's a kingdom principle that'll work for us. And this is the way Jesus said we can operate on this earth. So I say that he loves to take care of me, and I get care package. He gives me care package. My care packages last year almost made up with my regular paycheck. Just people and all the things that people are giving me and different, because they chase me down. I get them in the mail. People put things in my pocket. And I'm not saying that for you to do that. But if he tells you to do it, praise God. But you know what I'm talking about? What I'm talking about, I'm just saying that it comes to me and it'll work, not just because I'm a preacher, because I know a lot of preachers it's not working for. I said, I know a lot of preachers it's not working about. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Glory. You know what I like about this young man right here? He hadn't said one word about the crowds or anything else. He hadn't said one word to me about it. Well, I'm sorry that, you know, a lot of people didn't come out or something like that. He hadn't said one word to it. God will meet all our needs. Can you say amen? But God is, see what he's doing. I like to say it this way. God is bragging to the devil. Look at him down there. He said, they believe that whole place is full. And it'll be. See that devil? So the devil comes down. See what all he's trying to do, what he's telling him, is to get you to dig up that seed. They did it with Jesus. He said Lazarus would live and not die, and the war was on. Two things he got hit with guilt trips. Mary and Martha said, if you'd only been here, that's one of the biggest faith killers there is. It's from family putting a guilt trip on you. You don't get too many amens on that. But it's the truth. Because we talked about it last night. We talked about even children. They learn how to do that at early age. Get you on a guilt trip. Because we talked about it last night. We talked about even children. They learn how to do that at early age. Get you on a guilt trip. You can just go to Toys for Us. Just go down there and sit in the chair. You know they have some chairs there, but hey, just watch a little bit. Just sit there and watch kids how they act. Mama, I want that toy. I want to have it. No! And they fall on the floor and have a fit and put mama on a guilt trip. All right, now jump up. Yeah, I'm got it. They know how to do it. See, the child is running the parent. The parent says no, they should have never relented. That's it. You ain't getting it. That's all.
They cry, put a guilt trip, oh. Or they try to use another relative, well, they love me more, they'd give that for me if they were here. Tough, they're not here. You gotta deal with that in everyday life. You gotta keep your word. If you say no, don't give in. Because they'll try everything they can. They'll try every trick. Because I found out that's what they tried to do with Jesus, to get him. What did they try to do? To get him to dig up his seed that he'd live and not die. Trying to get him to take it back. Then the religious leaders came in. If only this man, I mean, couldn't he? And, you know, religion will try to kill you, get you to dig your seed up. And then those closest to you, like staff. He had staff infection. Well, if we're gonna go over there, we'll get stoned. By this time he's stinking. This and that. What he was trying to do? To get him to take his word back, what he said. He got over there and he said, Father, I thank you already heard me. Then he gave the word, Lazarus come, and that man come flying out. He didn't come jumping out. He was like a cat. He flew out of that chute and came right up there right before Jesus. And it'll happen to you too. Once you plant your seed, don't relent. My father-in-law, he never goes back and digs up his cotton seed for nothing. He just goes out there and keeps the ground right. Why? I remember he's telling us, look at that farmer out there. Boy, that's a lot of crop. He said, he's a poor farmer. That's what he means, because he don't take care of his ground. You notice some of those bare spots in the middle of it? I didn't notice it, but he brought it out. He said he ain't a good farmer because he don't keep his ground good. See, my father-in-law, he knows how to get 100-fold yield out of every acre. And that's the trouble with us, is that we don't keep our ground, our garden, in our lives, in everyday life, keeping our life clean, walking holy, where we can produce 100-fold. Well, I don't know if I helped you, but I sure preached myself. Can you see that? See, watch, especially with a man and a wife. You got a wife over here and dad says something and she's over there with the kids. Now, I don't believe a word of that. You're going to have some real problems. Matter of fact, you're going to have a crop of kids that are all messed up. There's one thing that me and my wife says. If she says no to Stephen, I'll go talk to her. I am not going to override what she says. And she ain't going to ride what I oversaid. Because we're going to be perfect. We're learning more and more to be perfect with our words. Not shucking and jiving. When I say something, I'm going to do it. It has a lot to do with integrity. I told God that I would not go into a church with money on my mind. I'm going into that church to deposit and to bless that church with a gift that God, and that He would take care of me. And for me to have to go around, and because I got a mailing list and they trusted me. See, you gotta understand, glory to God. There was a pastor one time that, actually he had a visiting minister come in. And the minister, you know, he's well famous. I mentioned, you know his name, well famous. Draws big crowds. I call it the TV groupies. Because when they leave, that's it. They just leave a mess in the parking lot and you don't get much fruit out of it. Anyway, moving right along, that's a different sermon itself. And when I went to heaven over a year ago last October, God showed me about the revival that's coming to the local church. People are going to empty out the dead churches and go where a righteous preacher is preaching the word of God. It's going to happen. It's all going to come to pass. Our buildings will not, us, those that are preaching the word of God, and they're clean, the churches are going to be jammed full with miracles, prosperity, everything before Jesus comes. You see? And I'm for the local church real strong. Of course, my spiritual father's for the local church, and that's Brother Hagin. A lot of these integrity things I learned from him. Now, we got a bunch of dogs running around right now. They'll get up to any kind of a fire hydrant. And, you know, rub up against anything just to get people or whatever. It's sick. I mean, can I go on another side road here? I know pastors who would phone another guy that working on another staff and would try to hire them without even going and talk to the pastor or anything else. And they wonder why they died at 55 and why they're premature, because they interfered with another sheepfold. That is wrong. And I don't care what you tell me. You say, well, that sheep don't belong to you. No, they belong to that pastor that's in that sheepfold. Don't give me that junk. And then, you know, I know church growth and everything. A lot of people said, well, the sheep just belong to everybody. No, they don't. You got to learn something about sheepfolds. You do that over in Israel and try to move in on another man's sheepfold, you'll get a shiv or a knife right up your something. Yeah, your boots are hanging. You know I'm preaching the truth. Because the ones that have integrity are the ones that are going to have the power. And the only way, when you start having integrity about your words, then you'll watch in every area of your life about integrity. There's bad habits I brought me when I was a child, the way I was raised, and I'm killing some of those, even those habits to this day. Because I want to walk with anointing. I want to walk with weight with my words. And this guy came in and he says, oh, by the way, he says, in our jet, we brought all these partnerships and things. And, you know, we want to talk, spend about a half an hour talking about our partnership to help pay for airtime and everything else. And the pastor's sitting there. Never forgot this. The pastor's sitting there thinking. He says, all right. He said, but I want to come over to your church. And he's got a church about 6,000 people. He said, and I want to come over to your, he said, that'd be fine. He said, but, I'm going to come over to your church and do the same thing. And the evangelist stopped. Well, he's really a pastor and really an evangelist, but he has a big church. And he said, well, I can't do that. He said, then I can't let you do it. See, there's a relationship. If you're going to have somebody come into your vineyard and pick your grapes, you want to have a relationship. And that's what I do when I go to churches. I want to build a relationship with that pastor. Then he allows me, because of our relationship, allows me to come in and pick his fruit. Why should I let somebody come in? I've worked 15 years to build a church, and it's prosperous and touch people, and for them just to come and pick the fruit. No, I'm going to pick the fruit. You're going to come through me if you're going to pick up my fruit and my vineyard. You understand what I'm talking about? And I remember that to this day, and I thought it was wonderful. He wouldn't let him in his church to do that. Something to think about. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. How many of you have been tested? I don't know if it's by the devil or by God, and the lady made a mistake in counting your money up and gave you too much money back. How many have been tested that? I have. How about you gave me too much money? Well, you can be proven right there. Find out. Oh, she gave me $200 too much. Well, they won't miss it. You just hurt your perfectness and your integrity. He says your words, you can become a perfect and entire and one in that. Amen. I'm letting just anybody that comes down the street come into our place and pick the fruit. Because we've been working, we've been building. I want to let those that come to love my sheep, that want to put into my sheep. And the man said, I'll bless you. And he did. He gave him a good offering. I mean, you know, he gave him a real good offering. You know, but he said, I wasn't going to let you pick my fruit. Just right then, we don't have a relationship. You wouldn't even let me come to your church. Something to think about. And you pastors, just don't let anybody come in your church. Whoever you let in, always remember this, who comes up to here and ministers to your people are going to leave a deposit of something. And a lot of these guys that I see, I don't want them in my places. I don't want them to be doctors. I know how they live behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. I know how they live. I don't want them to deposit that. I want somebody clean. I want somebody that's going to bless our people and leave a good deposit. And leave a good, you know, why should I have all the TV groupies come in and affect my people? When they don't go to church, that's all they do is watch TV. And they're in rebellion. They just go around, you know, hero worship. Me too. Anyway, did you get anything out of that tonight? Glory to God. Now, the Lord told me several years ago, I used to preach for 2 hours. And he said, now cut all the fluff off. And I said, well, that'd take an hour off right there. And just preach on the things that people can live on. And he said, you leave a better deposit in them. And then, you know, of course, we can have Holy Ghost meetings and jump over chairs and everything else. But I want to leave a deposit, something that you can live in. And what I preach tonight, it'll work for you in everyday life. I've proven it. Get your words in rudder. If you don't like where you're at today, change what you said yesterday. And then get excited when you release your words, faith. Now, first of all, I'm not just talking about empty words. I'm talking about meditating and having a relationship with God. Because positive thinking, they have words that release, but they don't work. You've got to have a relationship with God and believe what you say will come to pass. Believing is just not enough. You have to say it and then believe what you're saying, that it'll produce a crop. I live in prosperity. All my bills are paid. I believe that, and it comes to pass. All my bills are paid. If I'm preaching or not, God opened the door for me to go preach, I'll be there. If not, he's still going to take care of me. I don't have to get a side job. And what he called me to do. Can you say amen? Now, I know when you're pioneering, I started out pioneering. When I started out in the ministry, I used to do roofs. I used to build cabins. I was up in the mountains, and there was things I did. And then I got so busy doing God's work, I didn't need to do that anymore. There's a process when you're pioneering. Then there's a point when you know what you know. Now it's time for God. I don't have to do that. Amen. You can control your whole body. It said right there. You can control your whole body. You beat right. You liver, you operate right. Get words down in there and they'll obey. Stand up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Put your hands to heaven and let's bless him. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you that we're blessed. Father, we thank you. that we have a will, that we have a testament, that we have a trust fund, and all these people, what they need per year to operate their lives, Father, we thank you that you meet all their needs according to your riches and glory. And every bit of it will come to pass. Every bit of it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Now let's just praise him for a minute here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise. We give you glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if it's the top of the stomach or the bottom of the stomach I think it's the top of the stomach where the food comes in, into the stomach from the esophagus down in here somewhere. And just feel like you got heartburn all the time. God wants to take care of that. Why don't you come up here, would you please? Whoever that is, come on up here. Is that you? In the name of Jesus, we thank, oh my, there it is. There's a power. My goodness. Every bit of it go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to say migraines, but they're not quite as bad as real heavy migraines. But there's some headaches. And it's like a dull pain is what like a dull pain. Hallelujah. Who's that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shatamaya Bakantunya. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're so wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? I just love the Word of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, I got seeds planted for a faster airplane. Because God said, you take care of this one real good. Then he said, I'll put you in seed and something faster. Hallelujah. We talked about what the Lord was going to do for us, and you responded, and we appreciate that. Was somebody going to go get somebody, or? Hallelujah. Is that you? The headaches? Dull? Yeah. In the name of Jesus, we curse that to go. Oh, there it went right in you. I felt that. Praise God. It went right in you. Every bit of it go in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it go in the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Masoko. Lini masoko shite. Does land mean something to you? Are you wanting It's adjoining. That's what I saw. It's yours. It's yours. That's what God said. It's yours. Thank Him. I'm just a FedEx guy. I know. Amen. Praise God. Adjoining. That's what I was going to say. It was in my heart. The adjoining property is yours. You got it. Praise God. You got it by faith. Praise God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love it when God does that. Actually, what I saw in a plot, and then this plot right next to it, you know, I was thinking maybe it was your house. I didn't know that you was a preacher. Huh? Yeah, amen. Praise God. Why not? Just stretch it out. Praise God. And there's a piece of land for you, and you'll know where it's at, and when you do, go talk to it. Just go talk to it. Praise God. That's all.
Yeah.
And watch God put it together.
Yeah.
Watch God put it together. And believe, when you plant that seed, that it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. I said every bit of it'll come to pass. Well, that sounds simple. It is. And then get into rest. And stay out of God's business. Quit getting on His side and trying to figure it out how it's going to get done. That's not your side. Our side is the trust. He's what He told me. He's everybody's in my business. They're worrying. They're carrying the care. See, God's the one that takes the... He's the one that cares for you. So why are you carrying the care of what He's supposed to be doing?
Right.
And what you're saying is you're putting yourself on the throne saying, I'll figure this out.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, how long will it take, Lord? Everything you showed me what I would be doing in my ministry. That's none of your business. Your job is to be obedient and trust. And your job is, God's job to do the doing for the buildings in your life. Our job is to believe and say, glory be to God. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Well, I preach myself all the way into heaven again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, last night he went to heaven. Well, we went to heaven tonight. I said we went to heaven tonight.